The clouds open, the moon appears, the still lake reflects it perfectly. Welcome to this call for the Shamanic Wealth and Healing Community. Tonight we're talking about the Frog's Return Moon, the first moon of spring this 2008. And so tonight we're going to be talking about how the energies of the earth are moving and shifting now that we've moved past the spring equinox. And we're moving into spring proper, even though it's a little chilly around here. It's still, as far as the solar calendar is concerned, it's officially spring. And the sequence of the moons is this year, it's a little different every year, but this year, Frog's Return is the first full moon of the spring. And then we have a second Frog's Return, just like you can sometimes have a blue moon. This year we have two Frog's Returns. We have a leap moon. The next full moon in May will be Frog's Return 2. And then in June we'll have the corn planting moon for summer solstice. And beginning with this sequence, we're going to be treating each of the three moons of spring as a series. And we're going to have a common theme. And the common theme for the spring moons is going to be seeing what the eyes cannot see. We're going to be exploring shamanic perception and shamanic vision. One of the first things to talk about with shamanic perception is that it's perception, not vision. We simply talk about shamanic visions and seeing because that's the most common, obvious form. But when you actually begin doing the work, very often it's not about seeing at all. It's simply about knowing or perceiving one way or the other. And we'll talk a lot more about states of perception, the ways people see things and perceive things. So a lot more to come about that. But before we get into that, let's kind of back up a bit and talk again more about the sequence of things. So we're coming out of the winter, and in the winter the earth's energies are deep within the earth, and then at Big Winds Moon, the energies begin to stir above the earth, and then with Budding Trees Moon, the energies move up into the plants and the trees, and now with Frog's Return Moon, the earth's energies of Pachamama, Santa Tierra, have moved out into the animals. And so we have baby frogs, which are tadpoles, of course, initially, and we have baby squirrels and bunnies and foxes and all kinds of baby animals out there. Some are coming out of hibernation, some are digging their way out of the mud, and some are being born for the first time. And but it's a time of abundance and movement and birth. Then for second Frog's Return Moon, keeping with the frog theme, this is the tadpole moon, and our next moon will then be the leaping frog moon, when the frogs leap out of the lake and into the world. And so that will be our theme in May. And then when we get to summer solstice in June, that's the corn planting moon. And for the corn planting moon, that's about establishing your cash crops and your serious crops and culling and weeding out all the distractions and buckling down and getting serious for the heavy-duty activity of the summer proper leading into the fall harvest. And so we'll talk more about that imagery. But for this sequence of moons, the image is seeing what the eyes cannot see. And we'll be exploring shamanic states of perception as we go through the three workshops and as we go through these phone calls. So this phone call is the free introductory phone call that is available to the main group, the main community site. And then there will be membership calls each week in between. We do a workshop review call, an abundance tip call, and a book review call. But all of those calls will be focused on shamanic states of seeing and exploring things that we can know that the eyes cannot see. And so using that as a theme, the way we look at it is the tadpole moon, this Frog's Return moon, is about being in the underworld, the Uhupacha, under the water. And so the workshop is April 26th, so 2 weeks from now, if you're listening to this live. April 26th will be the workshop for the first Frog's Return Moon at the Stonehouse Bookstore. And then the second Frogs Return Moon, the workshop will be on the 24th of May. So I'll be doing a Friday evening presentation on the 23rd and an all-day workshop on the 24th of May. So you can spend, that's a long weekend or something, I believe. So you can spend the day with us. And then the three-day weekend is June 20, 21, and 22. And I just went out to Mosswood Hollow last weekend, and it is a beautiful, beautiful place. It will be absolutely wonderful to be out there and in nature for 3 days. As we do the shamanic rites, we're going to be doing Kaiwalk rites. We're going to be doing more work on nature paintings, work with nature, work with fire. We'll be doing a despacho and a despacho fire. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. I hope that many, many of you can join me for the three-day weekend of June 20, 21, and 22 out in Duval, Washington. Worth flying in for if you have to. But before we get there, we're going to be doing two workshops that will build up to that. So the way I'm doing the workshops now is each month we'll build on the theme, and the three-day weekend will be the culmination where we do the shamanic rites and where we do strong, deep ceremony and intense work. But first we begin, where we always begin, with the image of the rose. Actually, we're not going to do that yet. We'll think about the rose. The rose comes later. Right now we're thinking of tadpoles. So this Frog's Return Moon is the tadpole moon. And we're thinking about what can we see even when we can't get out of the pond yet. So we'll be exploring one of the exercises that we'll be doing over the course of the workshops. And culminating on the three-day weekend, will be there's three core vision states available to you. In the shamanic system, we talk about the lower energy center, the heart energy center, and the third eye energy center. When you look at the archetypes, the lower center in your belly is the underworld, the Uhupacha, the serpent. And you can learn to see with the eyes of the serpent or the tadpole. And that's what we'll be doing at this workshop, is exploring the vision that is associated with the Uhupacha and the stone people and the underworld and now those places. Then as we move to the second Frog's Return Moon, the Leaping Frog's Moon, we'll be moving on to the Jaguar vision, Chokuchinchai, in your heart. And we'll learn to see and smell and taste with the eyes of a jaguar. And we'll explore your jaguar vision. And then when we put it all together, you go to the Apuchin vision, condor vision in the third eye, where you can see truly what the eyes cannot see. And then we'll be doing the Kaiwalk rites to balance those different seeing states. So the workshops, this sequence of moons for the Spring's Moons will be focused on shamanic vision, shamanic perception. And we always do journeys. We always do exercises. And now we're weaving in also a bit of Taoism and Qigong. So Judith Bricker is going to be my assistant for each of these three workshops. And she is a sixth-generation Wudong master. She's been studying Qigong for 9 years, I believe, with Dr. Wu here in Seattle, who is a traditional Chinese doctor with a long lineage. We'll talk more about that at the workshops. Or you can learn about her by looking up her profile on the website. So we'll be blending in. And one of the reasons we're doing that is when you explore the Qigong energies, you learn to tell the difference between Qigong and Qi and shaman energies. So learning to tell the difference between Qi energy and shamanic energy is a form of perception. So one of the reasons and one of the ways that the Qigong will be woven into this is that we'll be using your ability to perceive and move qi energy and distinguish between that skill and learning how to move shamanic energy, which is unformed energy. In the Inca Quechua language, you talk about that as the unformed energies are iya, and so iya is unformed energy, and kausai is the energy once it takes physical form. So qi is a form of kausai. We'll also be talking about the three fires, Kausai Kancha, Kausai Pacha, and Kausai Laira, and how you use those three energies to really vivify your three energy centers and some other things. So it's very cool. lots of good fun stuff to work with through this sequence of workshops and calls. So we'll be talking a little more as we go tonight about this time of season, this time of year. What does it mean to be at the first full moon after the equinox? Well, here in Seattle, we've had a late snow. I think everybody had a late snow. My brother's up in Anchorage, and they got, I think, 2 feet of snow a couple of weeks ago, and we got a couple of inches of snow, which is very unusual for us. And then it was warm for about 48 hours, and now it's cold again. So it's an interesting spring. But it is spring at last. And as you tap into the energies of the earth, you can tell that. It's another example of shamanic perception, and it's the reason the lunar reflection easing focuses on the cycles of the moon and the cycles of the sun. So if you haven't noticed yet, what happens is we do lunar reflections at every full moon, and we do a 3-day workshop at this solstice and equinox. And so the 3-day workshops are synced up with the solar calendar, and the 1-day workshops are synced up with the lunar calendar. And if you can't make it to the workshops, this call and the easing are, again, associated with the full moon primarily. And so by connecting with those energies of the earth, we learn to perceive the energies of the earth. And as we become better at perceiving earth energies, we find ourselves not fighting against what's going on around us. We find ourselves not trying to get a lot of stuff done in late December, when there's not a lot of energy around to get stuff done. If you notice, lots of people rush around in December and not a lot gets done. And then in summer, especially up here in the northern hemisphere, you know, far north where we've got 12, 14-hour days, my brother's up in Alaska where they have 20-hour days, and people are up for most of those 20 hours in the summer and they don't even notice it. So in the summer, there's lots of energy. In the winters, there's hardly any. Lunar reflections is about tapping into and perceiving those energies. At the last workshop, appropriately for the budding trees workshop, we did speaking to trees. We went out and touched the energy of the living trees in the parking lot and communicated with the trees. And we used our stones to help us communicate with the trees. So this sequence of workshops and calls is going to be about the different kinds of tools that a shaman can use to explore vision states and perception states. And one of the things about shamanic wealth and all of these workshops and the calls is my goal is to teach you the things that you can learn even if you don't plan on becoming a shaman. My goal is to make this stuff accessible and available and safe for you to explore and experience even if you're not interested in the what can sometimes be long, hard row of the shaman, because it's quite an intense path if you walk it as a medicine person. So it's so this isn't about that. It's not about becoming shaman, but it's about perceiving shamanic states. It's about understanding shamanic energy, and anyone can perceive shamanic energy. Another way that I unlocked a lot of energy is through Reiki. So one of the first things when I started studying this is I became a Reiki master. And so my first year of energy medicine, when I got serious about this, I became a Reiki master and did my shamanic initiation. Got initiated by Don Manuel Gispe, the elder shaman, and went to Peru. It was a big year. We're on about vision and perception. So there are many ways to see the world. And one of the phrases, another thing I'll start throwing in here a bit more of is some Taoist phrases. I've always been a fan of Taoism. Once I started reading these things, I noticed that was the Tao Te Ching was resonating with me very well. And I've had a really good translation of it. And one of the phrases, one of the passages in the Tao is, the five tones deafen the ear, the five tastes dull the palate. And what they're talking about, the way Jose Luis and Don Manuel talk about this, is called consensual reality. So when you believe that all songs have to be on key to be beautiful, when you believe that certain tastes are sour and others are sweet and others are bitter and that that matters, you have characterized and categorized things into specific categories. And even in regular old psychology these days, anybody who's done any studies of human perception, they will tell you that the way you think about things defines what you can see. You know, standard phrase in workshops these days is, I'll believe it when I see it, really should be, I'll see it when I believe it. So that even in mainstream psychobabble workshops, everybody is aware or talks about, or a lot of people talk about, the fact that your beliefs determine what you can perceive. So the first step of shamanism, and it's true just as well of Zen meditation and Taoist ideas and almost any of these paths, is to try and unlearn what you've been taught. And that's also true when we get into things like the abundance tips. Most of us have been taught things like you have to work hard to make money. Most of us have been taught that money is hard to come by. Money doesn't grow on trees. Rich people are mean or evil. We have a whole list of beliefs that some of them we believe. One of the things, as I was doing some work with abundance beliefs recently, it came to my awareness as I was working through it again, that it doesn't only matter what you believe about money. So you may have embedded in your belief system, money is the root of all evil. Or you may have gotten over that a long time ago. But if there are people around you who believe that, whether it's your family or people you work with, people you associate with, if the community you're in believes that, it's very hard for you to act as though that belief were not true. So one of the key elements of abundance and the whole law of manifestation these days law of abundance work is this idea that first you have to shift your beliefs and then you can shift your reality. One of the most cool books I've read on that lately is called Coyote Wisdom. So Coyote Wisdom is a wonderful book. There's Coyote Medicine, Coyote Wisdom, a variety of coyote books written by someone whose name I'm not going to remember. I can look it up. But in Coyote Wisdom, he's a psychologist, and he is blending Native American folktales with psychological work, mainstream psychology work. And what he decided and what he came up with in Coyote Wisdom was that even with physical illness, even with Western drugs, if the patient doesn't believe they're going to get better, they're not likely to get better. And so his whole thing is to blend kind of journeys and myth to create a myth for the patient that says, in the end, I got better. So he gets people to retell the story of their illness and create an ending, even in fantasy, that ends, and then I got better. And the cause of what gets you better could be a drug, or it could be a journey, it could be any number of things. But unless somewhere in your mind you accept the possibility and even the reality that you got better, or you no longer had to struggle with money, or you were finally respected and understood by your peers, until you can, even in the realm of dream and myth, believe those things, it is almost impossible for them to become true. And if they do become true, very often we will go and destroy them. So for people who make a lot of money or win a lot of money, people who get some fame and notoriety and respectability, if their, Harvecker calls it your blueprint, if their psychological blueprint hasn't been shifted to allow that level of success and comfort, very quickly you will reinvent your world to disallow that level of success and comfort. So you may make $1 million and eventually you'll lose it. So a big part of this work, especially when I focused on the abundance work, when I got into the shaman work, and one of the things that shamanic wealth is all about, the reason for the name shamanic wealth, is to help people shift their perceptions about reality. And so this being tadpole month, we're going to start at the beginning. We're assuming In regular psychology, in Jungian psychology, the still lake, remember the opening phrase, the clouds open, the moon appears, and the still lake reflects it perfectly. The still lake is the lake of our subconscious. And when we're doing meditation and breath exercises, the goal is to still the mind, to still the subconscious. Judith, when she talks about the Taoist phrase, the way she was taught this in Qigong, was you want to still the mind so that you can clearly see the rocks at the bottom, or that when you throw a pebble into the lake, you can clearly see the ripples. So that when you still the mind, you can see. So we'll be doing some still point breathing and other kinds of breath work and stilling the mind kind of work that will allow us to see. For this Frog Returns Moon here in April and on the workshop of the 26th, we're going to be focused on seeing through the water and maybe being able to see through the surface of the water a little bit, but we're still tadpoles. So we're not going to be able necessarily to see the stars or see far, but we want to be able to explore the vision of the Uhupacha, the underworld. What is the world that tadpoles live in? Because we are all tadpoles from time to time. So we'll be exploring tadpole vision or serpent vision, Uhupacha, lower world ideas and vision and beliefs. Because again, Uhupacha is the place from which things are born. The reason Amaru, the serpent, is the archetype of the Uhupacha is because not only do serpents, you know, in the Amazon live under the water and in the mud, but serpents, all snakes, can shed their skin and emerge anew. So when we're doing Amaru work, it's about shedding your skin. Part of the way I set space has the phrase, Amaru, teach us to shed our pasts as you shed your skin. So this work is about learning to rub your nose on the rocks of your perception and the rocks of your difficulties. So another element of shamanism is this idea of the wounded healer, recognizing that your struggles and your difficulties are very often the source of your power. In this imagery, your struggles and difficulties are the rock against which you rub your nose that then allows you to wriggle out of your skin. Those of you who aren't familiar with how snakes shed their skin, as a young boy I used to play with snakes in the woods of Texas, and I owned or had hognose snakes from time to time, so I used to play with snake skins and snakes. And the way a snake sheds its skin most of the time is that when it's time for them to shed their skin, their bodies have grown and the skin does not grow. So eventually the skin gets old and tired and dry, but in order for them to shed their skin, first they've got to create a break, a tear in the skin. And when the time comes, they'll rub their nose against a rock or a tree until they tear the skin off of their nose. And just like a chick is breaking out of an egg, when the snake first gets that skin off its nose, then it will find typically a crook in a tree or a rock again and wriggle out of its own skin. And that's the transformation we will be creating for you as we go through the three moons of spring. We want to create a process where you can wriggle out of your own past, your own limitations, your own perceived obstacles. Some obstacles are quite real, but also there are many, many, many that are almost entirely our perception and hardly real at all. And learning to see what the eyes cannot see is often about learning to see the mistaken beliefs that we hold that hold us back, that create us as having disabilities or handicaps or struggles. And very often, significant parts of that are not really there at all once you can see clearly. So the shamanic perception states are learning to see what the eyes cannot see, giving you the ability to shed your skin, to shed your past, to grow beyond your old limitations. And it's in the work of the shamanic wealth and healing growing beyond your own limitations happens on all three levels, the practical, the psychological, and the energetic. So practically, it may be growing in your job, growing in your career, making more money than you ever thought you could, or being comfortable with however much money you have when you never thought you could. There are a couple of ways to outgrow your skin. One is to learn to make a lot more money. The other is to realize that if your path is such, you know, social work is your life, your passion. Social workers don't make a lot of money. But if that's your calling and that's your life, then you should become comfortable and content with that life. So there are two ways to become comfortable. One is to accept the necessity of the life you live. If you need to be a hermit in the woods, you're not going to be shopping at Nordstrom's. If you need to be a social worker, you might make it to Nordstrom Rack from time to time. But you want to be able to get comfortable in your own skin as well as shed your skin so that you can adopt and adapt to a new level of comfort. And that may or may not look like a bigger house and more money, but it does look like more opportunity almost always. So even though we're talking about shamanic perception, another image we'll be using a lot of is this idea of shedding your skin. Certainly here in the first frog return moon, where we're using this image of the Uhupacha and the tadpole and living in the underworld and emerging from the underworld. So those are some of the themes. And so now we're going to go and do our clearing and grounding visualization. And so this visualization, again, you can perceive it as a nice journey. You can, or a nice, you know, visualization where you can kind of relax. You can use it as a true clearing and grounding where you can release some important things. You can do it as a true shamanic journey where you can go places and learn things. So you, as the dear listener, get to choose how you want to engage with this call. And in particular, if you're listening to this recording in your car or while you're cooking dinner, you can listen to the journey and not lose your focus. So as I always start, if you're driving, you will become sharp and clear and more perceptive. If you're in a place where you can relax, then please close your eyes, calm your breath, and gentle your heart. Slow your thoughts, calm your mind. Allow the lake to become still so that it reflects the light of the moon, the light of the full Frog's Returns moon is reflected perfectly as the clouds part and the lake becomes still. And tonight's visualization will be about finding that still place so that you can let go of the things that no longer serve you, the beliefs, the images, the energies that no longer serve you. And we begin where we always begin, with the image of the rose. How does your rose appear to you tonight? Is it bright and fresh, or perhaps a little worn and tattered? If it's worn and tattered, that is because it has been affording you protection all this time. And it has become tired and worn. But we can replace it with a bright, fresh, new one at any time. However, as a sign of respect, as a sign of gratitude, we always check in first. We always ask our protections. How are they? How is your rose this evening? What color is your rose this evening? Is it a rosebud or is it in full bloom? Is it bright and fresh or perhaps a little worn and tattered? Smell the beautiful fragrance. Reach out and touch the silky petals. Be careful of the thorns on the stem and the sharp serrated leaves. And now we notice also that we're talking about a single rose, and that rose is not attached. It is not attached to you. It is not attached to the earth. And the importance and meaning of this will become clear. So however you perceived your rose initially is perfect, but when we are done, we will have a single, clear, perfect rose. And again, as I mentioned, shamanic perception is not actually about seeing. So even if you can't see your rose, you probably know what color it is. Even if you can't see your rose, you can probably feel the silky petals and the sharp serrated leaves. And be careful of the thorns on the stem. Now we turn our attention to the grounding cord. The grounding cord attaches at the base of the spine, the bowl of the pelvis, and extends through the floor, into the soil, into the rocks, into the bedrock, all the way to the center of the earth, the belly of Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. The grounding cord attaches at the base of the spine, the bowl of the pelvis, and extends through the floor, into the soil, into the rocks, through the rocks, into the bedrock, all the way to the center of the earth, the belly of Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. And now, call your name down the grounding cord and introduce yourself to Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. There is a sound that resonates with you perfectly this evening. It may be your full name or a nickname, a spirit name you have used before, or something entirely new. What is the sound that resonates with you tonight? And use this sound to introduce yourself to Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. Call your true name and express your unreserved gratitude for all that you have received. Every meal you've ever eaten, every breath of air you've ever taken, every glass of water you've ever drunk has been a gift from Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. So we all have much to be grateful for, however difficult our lives may be, outside of this room, outside of this call. Now, we are focused on what we are grateful for, and we are grateful to simply be alive. Having expressed your gratitude, it's now acceptable to begin to release the dark, stale hucha that collects around all of us. It slips away, falls away, drains away, down the grounding cord, down to Pachamama, down to Mother Earth, where it is composted and refreshed and renewed. And now imagine that you can see clearly your pokpo, the energy egg that surrounds us, the energy egg that surrounds your auras and your energy body. It encloses you and it enfolds you. It protects you. How does your pokpo appear to you this evening? Again, can you see it or do you simply know whether it has weak spots or thin spots? Do you simply know that it is bright and fresh, or perhaps a little mottled and splotchy? So even if you can't see, you will know these things. Reach out and touch it. Feel the inner surface of your popo. Feel for thin spots. Feel for gaps. Feel for sticky stuff. Become very aware of the energy egg that surrounds you and allow more of the dark, stale hucha that is connected to it to simply slip away, drain away, fall away, down the grounding cord, down to Pachamama, down to Mother Earth, where it is composted and refreshed and renewed. And so now open a small hole in the crown of your head and allow a gentle funnel of energy to drain in from the moon and the stars and the four winds. It's purified and filtered by your pokpo so that none of the extraneous energies can get in. But we have a connection through the grounding cord to the earth, and now a gentle connection through your crown to the stars. The goal of the shaman is to be that midpoint, exactly halfway in between the heavens and the earth. So begin to allow exactly equal and opposite amounts of star energy and earth energy to enter your body. And allow them to fill your three energy centers. Your lower energy center is in your belly, just below your belly button. In Qigong, it's called the lower Dantian. In Quechua, it's called Yangkai. In Hindu system, it's the first and second chakra. Allow your lower energy center of abundance and action to fill full to gently overflowing with exactly equal and opposite amounts of heaven and earth energies. Allow them to mix and spin and swirl. And now allow your attention to drift up to your chest, to your heart, to your heart energy center, your moon eye, the middle dantian, moon eye, your heart chakra. Allow your chest to become full to gently overflowing with exactly equal and opposite amounts of heaven and earth energy. Allow your perception to shift to your forehead, your third eye, your yachai, your upper dantian. And this is the seat of shamanic vision. But there are other shamanic seeing states that can be unlocked by moving your attention into your belly, or moving your attention into your chest, or moving your attention where it is now in your third eye. You begin to unlock new perception states, new vision states, new areas of awareness and acknowledgement. So allow your third eye to become full to gently overflowing with exactly equal and opposite amounts of heaven and earth energy. And as these three energy centers become full to gently overflowing, notice that they are mixing and spinning and swirling and beginning to glow brighter and brighter and brighter. And as they do, the energy radiates out, cleansing and purifying your entire energy body, melting away, burning away, draining away the dark, stale hucha, the ideas and beliefs and energies that no longer serve you. Many of these beliefs served you well when you began to believe them, but they serve you no longer, so you simply let them slip away, drain away, fall away, down the grounding cord, down to Pachamama, down to Mother Earth, where they are composted and refreshed and renewed. And as they do, by releasing these energies, your vision becomes clearer. Most of us have very cloudy vision because we are attached to these old belief systems. The five tones deafen the ear, the five tastes dull the palate. Our consensual reality beliefs about what is possible, about who we are, limit us. A key piece of this work, a key piece of the three moons of spring, will be to rub your nose against the rock of shamanism so that you can slither out of your skin and allow new possibilities into your life. And when we finally get to the corn planting moon in the 3-day workshop out at Mosswood Hollow, you'll be in a place to where you can see more clearly than you ever have before. And in the presence of the nature spirits working with the nature painting and the despacho and the fire and the longest day of the year, we will do a ceremony called the Kaiwak Rites, which will balance your energy and your vision and allow you to see clearly things you had never seen before. And in that state of clarity, you will be able to do the work of the corn planting moon, where it is time to cull the field, to thin the crops, to weed the field, and let go of the things that no longer serve you, so that you can focus the high intense energy of the summer and the harvest of the fall on the things that matter most. So corn planting moon is about clarity of vision and culling and weeding so that you can have strength and power in the second half of the summer, summer proper. But for now, we are at the very beginning of the process. We are little tadpoles swimming under the water. And like fish at the very beginning, we don't even know we are in water. The fish will be the last people to discover water. We are completely unaware of the limitations we have wrapped ourselves in, the ponds we force ourselves to swim in. But soon, we will sprout legs and bodies capable of breathing air. And we will spend a good deal of time simply sitting around the edge of the pond, wondering what it would be like to hop out and move beyond the water. And then in time, our legs will become firm, the tails will disappear, and we will be frogs, and we can hop onto the earth. And then, as we are hopping onto the earth, we will be able to climb trees, climb into the sky, and during the corn planting season, we will be able to see with condor vision, and we will be able to see with the clarity of the heavens and the stars. And we will be able to begin to weave all three forms of perception into balanced shamanic perception. And it is from that place that we will know what serves us and what does not. And we will be able to choose, and then in the context of deep shamanic ceremony, release and move beyond blocks and inhibitions that have held us back all our lives. That is the work of the three-day workshop, the corn planting ceremony. The work of the coming time will be preparation, Uhupacha work, underworld work, serpent work, Amaru, Yatkuma, the serpent of the waters, will do water ceremony. I introduced it at the last workshop as well. Chuyaska. The Chuyaska ceremony, the shaman assembles reality. So we'll go through assembling reality and shedding your skin. Tonight, imagine yourself standing at the edge of the field of your future. For those of you who have, if you haven't listened to this, go back and listen to some of the old recordings and of the last couple of moons, and you can hear the introduction of this idea. There's a field of your future where we have planted the seeds of our becoming during the spring workshops or the winter workshops. And now we're standing at the edge of that field. And even if you haven't worked this field before, you can clearly see or perceive ahead of you a large, barren field. Not barren, but well worked. Clean, no weeds. But there are sprouts beginning to show. And in that earlier work, we brought the stars down to the earth and we mixed the stars into the soil of our future. So the soil of your future is this mix of heaven and earth. So it's dark, rich soil with sparkly bits in it, and the sparkly bits are the stars. That is the soil of our future, the soil of your becoming, and we have planted our seeds in that very rich soil. But for now, we see ourselves as the tadpole in the pond next to the field, not yet ready to be able to go out and stand in the field and till it and work it. So we are still currently only able to stand at the edge and know that it is there. While our job now for this first workshop will be to still the mind, to calm the heart, to slow the breath, so that that still lake reflects the full moon perfectly, that still lake allows us to see all the way to the stone people at the bottom of the lake, that still lake allows us to perceive the ripples of the middle world, the life that we live. The goal will be to still the mind, to slow the heart, to gentle the breath. And as you imagine yourself standing at the edge of this field, clearly around the edges of the field you can see off to the left is serpent, a maru, a large boa or python. Don't be afraid. These are wild animals, but they are the archetypes of our becoming. and they will treat us well, though sometimes they teach us in what appears to be a harsh manner. They are teaching us for our greatest good. Off to the left is the serpent energy, the lower belly energy, the Uhupacha underworld energy. In front of you, you see Chokochinchai, jaguar. Chokochinchai, mother, sister, jaguar. Otorongo, the jaguar spirit of the forest. We will explore jaguar energy in May at the second frog return moon. And then off to the right, you see Apuchin, condor. The condor or the raven or the eagle. The bird that flies high and can see far. But the vision symbols are almost always raptors, because the vision of the stars is very harsh, and it has little to do with human things, which is why we need to balance these vision states so that you can develop a clear and balanced vision so that you can make wise and honest choices, so that you can see what the eyes cannot see, and you can release that which no longer serves you. So you allow it to slip away, drain away, fall away, down the grounding cord, down to Pachamama, where it is composted and refreshed and removed. You allow it to be tilled into the soil, to become compost, to fuel your future. All of your failures, all of your successes become the compost of your future, meaning little or nothing, as the bacteria of your spirit eat it and turn it into warm, moist, powerful soil for your becoming. Gently resting, you can perceive the field of your future clearly. And even if this is the first time, you can see also the protection we have placed around that field. So there is a square box of light that surrounds the field of your future. There are beams of light running around the edge. The first beam of light starts a few feet below the soil, below the earth. There's a beam of light that starts at a corner and runs up to the far corner, and then it turns and across to the next far corner, and then it turns and comes back, always below the soil, until you've completed the circuit. And there's this circle or square of beams of light beneath the field of your future, the garden of your becoming, the garden of possibilities. And then you notice that up in the air, there's a similar box or circle. You pick a point a few feet into the air, a little above your head, and you draw a beam from that corner of the field to the next corner. And then you draw and you turn the corner across the far edge of your field, and then it comes back closer to you, always in the air, always in the sky, not too high, but well above the earth, well above your head. And now the sky above you, there's a beautiful box or circle of light that encloses the heavens. And now you pick a soil under a corner underneath the soil, and you draw a beam of light up to the same corner in the sky. You're connecting the heavens and the earth. So now turn your attention to the far corner and draw a beam of light from under the earth up to the sky. And then you go to the next corner or the far side of the field and you connect those two corners up and you go around until you're enclosed in a box of light, whatever shape it may be for you. Again, you may see it or you may just know that it's there. You may just feel it. For example, even if you can't see it, what color are the beams of light? You probably know that. Do the beams of light make a sound? Are they crackling or humming? Can you reach out and touch them? Do they have a feeling? Do they warm your hand, or are they cool beams of light? So now you've enclosed your field in this box of light. Imagine yourself standing in the very center, halfway between all the edges, halfway from the top and the bottom. And in that central point, you draw diagonal lines out to all of the corners in the sky and the corners under the earth. So there's this beautiful star of beams of light that all meet up in the perfect center and extend out to the edges of the box. And from that perfect center, you drop a grounding cord down through the soil, down into the earth, into the rocks, into the bedrock, into the warm red magma of the center of the earth, the belly of Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. And so now your grounding cord is well set. The grounding cord for your field is well set. And so you can allow more and more of the dark, stale energy that no longer serves you to slip away, drain away, fall away, down the grounding cord, down to Pachamama, down to Mother Earth, where it's composted and refreshed and renewed. And as you're standing there, place one hand on your belly and one hand on your chest, and allow these two energy centers to come into communication. Remember, off to the left is a Maru. A Maru is in your belly and off to one side of your field. And the heart center is Chokochinchai, the jaguar, that's off on the other side of the field. Allow these two energies to communicate with one another and to come into alignment. And now shift your hand so that one is on your forehead and one is on your heart. And now Apuchin, the condor or the eagle, can communicate with the jaguar. And they can begin to understand each other. And these two energy centers come into alignment and balance. Shift your hands again so that one is on your belly and one is on your forehead. So now Amaru and Condor, Amaru and Apuchin, Serpent and Eagle, can understand each other and communicate. And your centers come into alignment and balance. And now rest your hands in a way that is comfortable. And notice how you can perceive that your three energy centers are glowing brighter and brighter still. They are completely aligned, radiating out, illuminating your seven chakras, illuminating your meridian system, illuminating your aura, illuminating your pokpo, the energy egg that surrounds it all, cleansing and purifying the luminous body, the medicine body, and allowing more and more of the dark, stale energies to slip away, drain away, fall away, down the grounding cord, down to Pachamama, down to Mother Earth, where it is composted and refreshed and renewed. And so now, gently and in your own time, return to your body. Don't open your eyes just yet, but return to your body. Wiggle your fingers and your toes. Take a deep breath, continue to relax, or alertly drive down the highway, whatever your circumstances. And now we return to the image of the rose. How does your rose appear now? Has it changed color? Now is it bright and fresh, or perhaps it is even now still a little worn and tattered? If it is worn and tattered, add some energy to it, or compost it, allow it to go down the grounding cord and be composted, and replace it with a bright, fresh, perfect new rose floating gently just at the outside edge of your energy field, just outside the popo. And this rose becomes your guard rose, your gift rose. It is a beautiful gift. It is a beautiful flower. It has a beautiful scent. And it's floating there gently in front of you, unattached. It is not attached to you. It is not attached to the earth. And so it is a beautiful gift, and it is the first thing that others will see when they come in contact with you. But it also has thorns on the stem and sharp, serrated leaves. So should someone you come in contact with is either poorly trained or perhaps a bit rude, and they try and take something from you, all they will get is a handful of thorns. And the rose comes away easily because it is not attached to you. It is not attached to the earth. And then you can quickly replace it with a bright, fresh, new one. So if you find yourself out in the world, out there in consensual reality, and you find yourself becoming flustered or unstuck or feel injured, Remember the pokpo and remember the rose. Reset your protections. Set your grounding cord to let the energies drain away, slip away, fall away, down the grounding cord, down to Pachamama, down to Mother Earth. We're just composted and refreshed and renewed. And so now, remembering the image of the rose, open your eyes and return to the room. So good night and good evening. Tonight's call was a quiet call, but in the future, as more people join the community, feel free to join the call and we can do questions and answers. So my goal is to make this an interactive call, though most of the ones that are on recordings are simple discussions. The first half of the call, properly done, should be more of a discussion and less of a lecture. So please return at the next full moon for the next free introductory call. I hope to see many of you at the workshop next weekend, April 26th, where we will do the Amaru work. We'll learn to see with serpent's eyes, taste with the serpent's tongue, learn to shed our skins, to shed our past. So thank you for joining me. Thank you for being a member of this community. Thank you for listening to this recording. Thank you and good night.